When the trumpet of the march shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Welcome to the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing the reality of God's Word to all people everywhere. Stay tuned as Joshua Daniel challenges us to a walk with God and the corresponding impact that'll have on our lives, families, and society today.
Now I want to turn you to Genesis chapter 13, 8th verse. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife between our herdsmen. Let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my herdmen and your herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Now, as historians have already begun to say, that like any great power, America has reached the zenith of its power. Phenomenal history. See, I was never a student of American history, but as I begin to read some of it, in such a short space of time, a bunch of dedicated people, primarily Puritans, pilgrims and Puritans, who, with hard, dedicated work, truthfulness, brought up a country which has become perhaps the most powerful country in the whole of history. And historians are already beginning to say, the decline of America has begun. And it is true. From the moral decay, the internal rot, and of course the British Empire, the sun never set on the British Empire. We see how Britain has come down. You wouldn't altogether call it a third-rate power, but it is driving in that direction. See, it cannot even control or speak and have a moral weight. Are we a civilized bunch of people? No, we aren't. Have we a moral conscience? No, we haven't. Do we care for the cry of the poor child, the hungry, foraging child who must pick up some root from a dry field? Do we care? We don't. We dwell on the surface. If everything goes fine with us, we are happy. I feel my diminution, my dwarfdom, and view it very seriously. Those men of God we see in the Bible were men who could warn kings, warn nations against digging their own graves. But what has happened to today's preacher? Such a superficial, lightweight, You know, that's all people want. And I'm so shocked. People are ready to give all kinds of excuses. You know, my dear friends, after all, we transmit our own nature to our progeny. And we are responsible for their declension. Have they grown in faith? Have we produced an Isaac to whom we can hand over this treasury of faith? Of course, we know how the descendants of Lot became a great hindrance to the children of Israel. Now, friends, if we look at the 15th chapter, you know, I can never exhaust that first verse. The Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And of course, Abraham's response was not in the same wavelength. You know, sometimes when God speaks, it's like somebody speaking from a high-rise building and you're at the street level and you can hardly even grasp a single word. Well, when God said, I am your real reward. I am your real reward. That has not sunk in spite of all the centuries that have passed. Nearly 40 centuries have passed since God spoke those words. And in these 40 centuries, it has not sunk into our hearts that God is our reward. And we couldn't ask for anything greater. We have all that we need in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, I'm not talking theory, because I know very well what it is to be with practically empty pockets. I know it. But if I did not find my all in Jesus, and if I only had to run to the bankers or somebody to find this, that, or the other, let me tell you, I would be a most miserable person. As a matter of fact, one of those tragedies in modern commerce is this, that the banks are not ready to give loans. They don't trust the credit of people, and our whole system has come crashing down. And therefore, at such a time, we have to rethink our whole position. Are we going to be people of faith? Now, you see the difference in the wavelength here. God was telling him, I am your reward. I'm there for you, Abraham. But Abraham was thinking, well, what's going to happen to these herds? What's going to happen to my wealth? Well, there's this fellow, Eliezer, who was born in my house. Maybe God will accept him as my heir. So that's how Abraham was thinking. But God had to teach him further. And the sixth verse, please. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars. I do hope that some of you know that telon is the old English word out of which tell the stars comes. Telon means count the stars. To count is telon. But imagine telling a man who is far past age and advanced in years, hey, count the stars. I'm going to give you children like that. See, what a difference there is in the scale in which God thinks and we think. Oh, there's a vast difference. I don't understand. The scripture begins with these things, Abraham, and the scripture goes on to Moses, the crossing of the Red Sea, and 40 years in the wilderness, and the daily manna, and so on. And with all that, we have not come to the basic understanding. My God has got all that I will ever need. And in Jesus, I can find all that I will ever need. That faith does not seem to come, with the result that I find that most Christians just become middle rankers. They're somewhere in the middle, somewhere. They don't turn out something which is universal, something that becomes a blessing to millions, that they never do. You know, I was very surprised to find that a whole list of the great inventors were Christians. Now, who started this science of chemistry? Robert Boyle. Antiseptic surgery? Yes, Joseph Lister. Bacteriology? Louis Pasteur. Computer science? Charles Babbage. Calculus and dynamics? Newton. Electronics? John Ambrose Fleming. You know, on and on the list goes. People who believed the Word of God, who trusted Jesus. Look up, Abraham, count the stars. Come on. Anybody here who can do so? No. God has such great things for ordinary people, because that is in the very being and essence and nature of God. Look up. I am your reward. I am there for you. Let us pray. Loving Father, here we are. Out of the travail of Calvary, hope has come to us. A looking up which was impossible has come to us. Some look only at money. Some look only at rosy prospects, but we look at the cross. Oh, Lord our God, please, Lord, hear our prayer. For we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would be delighted to hear from you. Please write, and if you have burdens you want to share and want prayer, do let us know. You can reach us on the World Wide Web at lefi.org, or else you can mail us at The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 14, South Lyon, Michigan, 48178, or in Canada, P.O. Box 31002, Windsor, Ontario, N9G2Y2. We are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, and we appreciate and we need your continuing prayerful support.